Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. That's what the clock says. Yeah, welcome back. I'm glad to be with you. Glad to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back with us. Jim is an outstanding editor at the Outstanding Kiplinger Editors Organization. They're the folks who create the Kiplinger Letter, which we're very happy about that. And that's what we work off of every week. Jim, moving over on page two. The U.S. economy, you guys identify that not all industries and not all regions have recovered. You know, one of the interesting things to me as I look out across the small business landscape and have now for the last year and a half since we've been having some of these challenges, it's been interesting to me to see some folks are doing okay. Some folks are still having a tough time. And so it's very interesting. It's such a spotty, the recovery is so spotty. And as I look at the map that you have here, where you identify where the recovery is continuing apace and where it's not by states, by region, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to see how spotty things are, isn't it?
Well, it is. it's interesting, generally more growth in the heartland. You might say from the center of the nation, the middle of the nation,
right,
north to south. Among those sectors leading us back in growth has been manufacturing.
Right.
Now, of course, that's because the demand for various durable goods had crashed, and there's only, so that's coming back. There is somewhat more demand
right
now. But also, exports.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. market for exports. And as we talked about last week, U.S. products are in demand.
Jim, I want to stop for a second and look at this map. Folks, if you could see this, Jim, you may not be familiar with this, but there's a report that one of my Brain Trust members does, Ray Keating with the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council.
Sure, I know Ray, of course.
Ray's a great guy. He's every year he does a report on the index of the states and how the states are with regard to whether they're good for small businesses or not because of their taxation, their policies, their regulations, those kinds of things. And he has an index, and I wish I had thought to get that out and overlay this, but Jim, if you look at your map here,
right,
if you pull out the states that are having trouble because of real estate, like Florida, Georgia, Nevada, California, if you pull those states out and realize that they've got their kind of a unique cyclical problem, I can see based on my memory of his index, the states that are doing well, that are what you call in the growing sectors, the growing
right
states of their economies are growing, I can almost assure you that almost all of those are the ones that rank high in Ray's index for small business environment.
Correct. Looking at the map here where we see the growth, I would say, that virtually all of these states have efforts here, affirmative efforts to try to grow entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm,
and business activity in general.
Which means don't tax people to death, don't regulate them to death, help them grow their businesses. And I'll tell you something, Jim, President Obama could take a lesson from your map and from what we're talking about right now. If he wanted to find out how to grow jobs, he would say, okay, what's going on in Oklahoma? What's going on in Nebraska? Why is Texas growing? Why is Arkansas growing? Why is Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, why are they growing? Let's, whatever they're doing, let's transport that up to Pennsylvania and New York,
mm-hmm,
and Virginia.
And California and Oregon, et cetera.
Yeah, let's export that. But I wish those conversations were happening, but I'm afraid they're not.
No, they're not. But that's what I'm saying. You realize here, you know, that public policy, whether it be law, regulation, or even whatever, but really affect not only business, but economic growth, you know, over a term of time. It's not going to make a big difference one day to the next.
Right.
But over months and some years, it makes a difference.
Right. There's no question about it. Jobs, you don't create jobs by flipping a switch and passing a policy.
No.
You just don't do that. There's so much more to it, and there's so much uncertainty. There's still a lot of uncertainty now, Jim. And as I wrote and as I've been talking about a lot lately, uncertainty is the greatest enemy of jobs growth in America right now. 20 till, right back with Jim Ostroff. We're going to talk about some of the industries that are doing okay and some of them that are not right after these messages. 20 till, stay with us. One of the classics from Jerry and the Pacemakers. That's Jerry with a G, by the way, if you're Googling them. I know you will, too, by the way. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. And we're having some fun with our good friend Jim Ostroff, and he's with the Kiplinger Editors, and I encourage you to check out their website, kiplinger.com, and use it to your advantage. You got a lot of good stuff there. I use it all the time. And, of course, their publications can be found there, including the Kiplinger Letter, which is 87 years old later this year, and in September, 87 years old. How about that? Jim hasn't been with them quite that long. And of course, that's the flagship. Then that comes out every week. And then the biweekly letters, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter, which I'm still trying to get them to change to the alternative fuels letter. And then, of course, there's that magazine, Jim, that landmark magazine.
Our Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, which was the first and we think the best personal finance magazine.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Available wherever books are sold. How about that phone number?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number, and that's 800-544-0155.
Right, and the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine on newsstands, too, as well as subscribe. And don't forget, by the way, I worked hard to get you a 30-day free trial, so make sure you tell them about that, and they'll give that to you. Jim, let's come back and talk about... This is a really important, really interesting segment of the newsletter here, talking about how some regions are doing well. We talked about that a minute ago. Some industries are doing well. Some are not doing so well. There's you guys use the word tepid. I've been using that. I used that term about 2 months ago. A tepid national recovery means that we got patchy parts of the recovery. And now the leaders, you guys are saying, are manufacturers. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, and mainly manufacturing growing fairly strongly, and particularly because inventories were drawn down so far,
right,
you know, last year. And the fact that, with some overseas growth, there is heightened demand for U.S. products, particularly machinery and equipment. Others are growing now. We have the auto industry,
mm-hmm,
which just went into the tank last year.
It had nowhere to go but up, though, Jim.
And so that's all relative.
Let me throw a little wrinkle in the manufacturers thing, folks. Jim, if you think about it, one of the reasons why U.S. manufacturing is one of the leaders in the recovery right now is because of the exchange rate of the dollar. The dollar has been extremely weak over the last couple of years, right?
Well, it has, and it therefore makes our products more attractive.
More attractive overseas. It helps us to overcome some tariffs that might be out there. But the thing is, Jim, we talked about this sovereign debt earlier.
That's right.
If that turns things upside down and causes the euro to devalue, which it very well may, folks, you're starting to see this global trade thing is good, in my opinion, because it gets goods flowing all around the world and it benefits everybody. But you know, when you got these currency things going on out there, that could derail the manufacturing sector, couldn't it?
It could. could, and in fact now, the U.S. dollar has been strengthening, and that now there's concern it may get too strong.
Right.
And again, it comes back to the situation in Europe.
Yeah. And now industries that are not doing so well, unfortunately, Jim, the financial sector obviously is having a tough time.
Right.
And then the aerospace is not doing so great right now, which I'm not surprised about that. The publishing industry is really taking on a chin right now because ad revenue is down, isn't it?
Way down. Everybody's taking a beating on that, trying to hold
right.
It.
And then, of course,
construction. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, of course, and you know, construction industry, but whether it's residential, but particularly commercial right now. Right now, commercial real estate is in a slump and getting deeper.
And Jim, we haven't even addressed. We still have yet to really feel the full measure of the contingent problems out there with commercial real estate.
Absolutely,
those defaults haven't really hit full force yet, have they?
No, they will, and they will likely this year.
Yeah,
more headwinds.
I'm hoping. I'd like to think that because it hasn't already happened, Jim. That the financial industry and the owners and the syndicators who put these things together, I'd like to think that they've learned something from the residential side, and that they're out there trying to put these big deals together one by one to kind of make some adjustments so that this medicine can go down a little bit easier. Am I dreaming, Jim, or are you seeing something along those lines?
No, I'm saying, you know, we're looking, we don't see that yet, but in any real tangible way, but they've been to the precipice. They've seen what happened most recently with residential real estate, and one would hope they say, look, we really need to restructure.
Right.
We need to forgive, you know, forbear actually a little longer because we don't want to go there.
Jim, moving down quickly, the next thing is the jobs package. You guys are saying that's going to be a good bet coming out in the next 30 days or so?
Yeah, we do, and probably around $100 billion.
what's going to be the main elements of the jobs package?
probably, you know, I got to say, more money for infrastructure projects, the shovel-ready things, quote-unquote, states getting more.
Oh, my gosh.
And extending unemployment benefits.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Well,
that's not
over.
Creating jobs, Jim.
However, they remembered there'll be some type of tax credit for employers who hire with many caveats.
But that's not going to create jobs, ladies and gentlemen, until we can get sales going again, until we get business owners feeling like they've got something, some reason to be hopeful about the future. Jobs aren't going to happen. And all the policies, Mr. President, all the policies in the world are not going to make me want to hire a new person. They just won't. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.